Hello and welcome to In My Downtown, a podcast hosted by the Michigan Downtown Association, where we present stories about unique projects and programs occurring in Michigan's awesome downtowns. In this episode, learn from Lapeer DDA Director James Ault about a project that literally rose from the ashes. The host for this episode is MDA Executive Director Dana Walker. Take it away, Dana.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to beautiful downtown Lapeer. My name is Dana Walker. I'm the director of the Michigan Downtown Association. And today I am joined with Jim Ault, the director for Lapeer Downtown and a Main Street community.
Yes.
Jim, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. So downtown's looking great, as always. So nice work.
It's been a busy few years. Yeah, we've got a lot going on. But yeah, we're pretty proud of the progress we've made so far.
Well, you should be. And for those that that don't know, Lapeer is the county seat for Lapeer County. I guess you could call us in the thumb region, right?
We're kind of like the base of the thumb.
Yep. Yeah. So get out your Michigan maps and you'll find Lapeer right there at the base of your thumb. So beautiful downtown. And part of the reason that it is so lovely these days is a park, a pocket park that came about under some not so great circumstances,
right. But
with the community and the assistance of a downtown organization, Lapeer DDA, you turned something not so great into really a true gem in the county. It's one of my favorite spots, not only in our county, as I live in Lapeer County, but not only in our county, but truly, like, it exemplifies to me what a downtown organization can and should do. And it's just beautiful. So we're here today with Jim to talk about the Ed LeClaire Lapeer Rotary Pocket Park. And that's a mouthful in itself, but there's reasons behind that title for the pocket park. So, Jim, let's start from the beginning and tell everyone what prompted this pocket park. What were the circumstances that led to it?
Yeah, so the circumstances that led to this were the circumstances that you never want to see happen in your downtown. And that is on November 14th, 2013, we had a fire break out in the building that used to occupy that space where the pocket park was located. And our fire department and our city officials, I mean, they did an amazing job, because when you have these old downtowns and a fire takes place in the middle of a block, that's scary. Because you're suddenly thinking, like, what happens if it spreads? But like I said, the fire department did an amazing job. They kept it contained to just that building, but unfortunately it did result in that building coming down, which left us with a vacant space right in the middle of our block. And so, you know, there's like that saying that, like, from ashes can come opportunity. And so we looked at it, talked about it, what can be done with this space. Do we want to try to just sell the space and see if somebody wants to build a new building? Then you have to look at, does it fit the characteristics of your downtown? Is anybody even going to be interested in building a brand new building in the middle of the block? That alone is challenging. And so then we said, well, you know what? What if we can make this a community space? What if this can be something that the community can enjoy? And we started having the conversation of developing a pocket park for it. And that's kind of where it started. It just kind of took off from there and became this amazing community project.
Well, that's interesting because, like you said, a fire in a, I mean, the definition of a downtown is close buildings next to each other, right next to the sidewalk, right? No lot space.
Right.
And you have a beautiful historic downtown. So I can imagine the challenges that the fire departments went through to really prevent that fire from spreading. So kudos to all those involved in that. And also, just for location purposes, the importance of that space in your downtown is huge.
It
is across from the courthouse, the old historic courthouse, on your main street.
Right on our Nipissing Street corridor, the main commercial district, right, like you said, in the center of our downtown. So you have the historic courthouse kind of adjacent to that, which is a national historic building. It's the oldest active courthouse in the state of Michigan. Right next to the building that burned down is the Pix Theater, mm-hmm. which is an original 1941 Art Deco theater. It was the first theater in Lapeer County that had, you know, top-down air conditioning in it. So there's a lot of history just in that block. Across the street from that building is our old opera house where Susan B. Anthony spoke. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of history right there. And so, like I said, that you see those flames and all kinds of thoughts go through your head.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So you talked about a community project.
Yes.
Okay, so was it the DDA, the Downtown Development Authority, that decided this should be a pocket park?
I think really the idea actually started with members of the community. And I wasn't with the DDA yet. I was actually still working for the Center for the Arts at that time. But some of the members of the community started mentioning the idea of a pocket park. One very active community member, Michelle Philippak, said, you know, what if we kind of do a design charrette and talk about the possibilities for that space and look at the usage of that space? So immediately from the get-go, you're getting that community feedback. Mm-hmm. And we know what the community would like to see there, which is really important when we're trying to build our downtowns. And so the DDA was on board, the city was on board, all of our community partners. And so we pulled together that charrette, had about 60 people there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and so it was a great session. It was a fun day. Lots of brainstorming, lots of ideas. And the end result was kind of coming up with a vision for that spot, and that being the pocket park.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so if it starts with the community, then you have that buy-in. That's key for what you went. Then the next step.
Especially with the approach that we took.
Yes.
Yeah. So what makes this project so amazing is that every level was community minded. So the initial ideas came from the community. We had the design charrette where local members from the community were chiming in into what the park could potentially look like. What could the space be used for? You know, so do we want to include entertainment aspects? Do we want to include art aspects with it? Should it be kind of modern? Should it be unique? You know, all these different factors went into place. And we started talking about the surrounding areas, which, like I said, it was right next to the Pix Theater, mm-hmm. which is part of the Center for the Arts. So you've got Gallery 194, you've got the Pix Theater, and then on the other side, you have Burke's Flowers, which is this great little local flower shop. So how do we pay tribute and tie it into the surroundings as well? And we started talking about green space and plants and having like a little performance area. And so the idea really became that it should be kind of natural, kind of warm and inviting, but also include like elements of art to it. And then that kind of took off into maybe the features of the park itself, like the benches and the seating and the tables, maybe those can be pieces of art also. So the whole space can really become a piece of art. And we worked with, again, a local landscaper and artist. He calls himself a landscaper. I call him an artist. But that was McCready Farms and Pete McCready and Todd McCready. And they were really kind of instrumental in moving the project to like the next phase of design and saying, you know, we can do this element for a stage. We can take large pieces of granite and split them and create tables and benches. And then he mentioned a local blacksmith, Bill Palmer, who again is based out of Lapeer County. And he's been an art prize and he's had work done all over the country. But for art prize, he created these large giant metal flowers. And we're like, wow, that could be really cool to incorporate that into the design.
And when you say large, Jim, you mean they...
I mean large.
Yeah, yeah, they're like, what, 10, like, 12 feet?
Probably, yeah, between 7 to 10 feet.
Yeah, in height. Yeah,
in height. Yeah, they're
they're
really
substantial.
Yes. Yeah, like one flower takes a trailer to bring it into town.
Yes.
You know, so, quite the projects, and then they between Bill and Pete, they looked at how could Bill's metal work interact with and incorporate with the stonework that Pete does, So it became just like this amazing process. And then, of course, you still have all the land surveying and all the electric and all the drainage and all of that that also has to come into play with it.
Yeah.
So, and all of which was done with members of our community.
So I'm going to get to the funding in a few minutes, but yeah, because we're still talking about the art aspect. So on the two adjacent buildings, I mean, you have a hole literally, yes, in between two buildings.
Yep.
So tell people what is on the one wall.
Yeah. So, you know, the idea is, like you said, we're between these two buildings. So how do we fill that space? And I have a background in art, and I've always been an art fan. So when I walk through a town, I'm always looking at things as, is this a potential canvas?
Mm.
And I've always been a big fan of murals. And so on the wall of the Pix Theater, we now have four large murals up there. And those were funded through a grant through Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs. But the murals themselves are recreations of community paintings that we created during previous art festivals in Lapeer, which are really cool because they're recreations of old master paintings, but they were done as a mystery for the participants, where like each painting consists of like 20 to 30 squares. Each participant got a square and a section of the painting that they were going to recreate. So they had no idea what the finished piece was going to be.
Right.
And then everybody does their little square. They turn it in, we assemble it, and we unveil the finished piece at one of our Art on Nipissing art festivals. And so we took those, had them professionally photographed. We worked with Village Printing and turned them into these large 10-foot by 15-foot reproductions. And those are now mounted onto the walls of the Pix Theater. So that's kind of the backdrop for the Pocket Park. So again, it adds that extra layer of community where even the artwork in there is all local. And we can say that there are over 60 basically local artists, quote unquote artists, and members of the community that have contributed to the artwork now. In
oh,
the
that's
Pocket
amazing.
Park. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. And you did put up a stage, I'll yes, call it a stage. So there's another aspect of art, live yep, performance. And yep, that stage is?
Yeah. So the stage itself is also stone-based. Where it is a combination of brick pavers, stone pavers, and then it's kind of lined with large boulders all the way around the stage to create kind of enhance that kind of natural look for it. But again, the idea is you've got the Pix Theater, which is a live performance theater. We do our concert series. We have a variety of events throughout the year. So how can this add to what we already do? And so that's kind of the goal is let's extend the arts. Let's pull them outside. So now you've got a space for performance, whether it's musicians or like Shakespeare in the Park type events, reenactments, little skits, all kinds of opportunities that can be done there. And also classes, mm-hmm, too. You know, in the summertime, you can put together theater classes or presentations for family programming. There's a lot of opportunity that can come from having that.
And I'm guessing people are thinking this is like a huge space, but it really isn't. I mean, you're talking...
No, I mean, 40 feet across, 120 feet deep.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's the size of a storefront, right, essentially.
Yeah. Right. So but you optimize every single space,
yes,
you know, in there. It does not look crowded whatsoever, right, but it just is... It just flows with the beauty of the artwork, the metal artwork. And then, like you said, the rocks, the stone, the granite that goes throughout with the seating, right, and the stage. I mean, it's just lovely.
And so I should go back. When we did that design charrette that I mentioned, it was community members. But amongst those community members, that included architects, landscapers, artists, engineers, you know, so that people who specialize in a lot of these areas so that we could figure out, like, the best use of the space and really optimize it. So a lot of planning went into it, a lot of thought.
Yeah.
Even going out there and drawing in the dirt and using cans of spray paint to mark things off to get an idea of what it could look like.
Awesome. So the big question then is funding.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of community...
Community involvement.
Community involvement, yes, there.
So the overall cost of the park was $150,000, so it's not a cheap endeavor. But our kind of thought on placemaking is... let's go for like the best, like let's shoot for what we want, and then we'll figure out how to pay for it after.
Right.
And so once we had an idea, we worked with Roe Engineering. I kind of utilized my art background to create some 3D renderings. And the idea was, let's break this up into sections. We were familiar with a program through the Michigan Economic Development Corporation called Community Places Public Spaces, which is a crowdfunding program, and that is a crowdfunding grant. So if you can successfully crowdfund $50,000 or up to $50,000, MEDC will match that up to $50,000. So we're familiar with this program. We've seen it used to great success in other communities around the state of Michigan. So that was kind of our target. But again, the project's $150,000 project. So that's why we thought, all right, well, let's look at it as three phases. The initial phase is we've got to get $50,000. Then we've got to crowdfund $50,000. And then MEDC kicks in that final bit. Mm-hmm. So we put together our sales pitch, essentially, and we went to service organizations like the Rotary Club, the Optimist Club, the Kiwanis Club. We did public presentations on it. We utilized events going on like Lapeer Days and our car crews to start talking about it. We did regular press releases to start talking about it so that as many people knew about this project as possible, so that we're building that excitement and keeping the community engaged along the way. And so we were very fortunate in that the Lapeer Rotary Club said, you know, we want to take on a big project. We want to make an impact in the downtown. And so they contributed that initial one third of the cost.
Wow.
They said, we'll donate $50,000 to the Pocket Park because we want to see this happen. We really believe in that project and what it can do for the downtown. And so we spent a good amount of time talking with them, because we wanted to make sure that they were properly recognized mm-hmm. for that. And that's where the name for the Pocket Park came. They said, you know, we would like to actually name this in memory of a past Rotarian who was very involved with the community, did a lot of volunteering, owned a business downtown. So that's how we came up with the name, the Ed LeClaire Lapeer Rotary Pocket Park.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. And that gave us, again, our initial 50. And then, you know, kind of remember that whole time we're doing that public engagement, keeping them in the loop. And so they knew where we were at. And so we contacted MEDC from the get-go, said this is our plan. And they are very supportive. Patronicity, who is who MEDC works with for that Community Places Public Spaces program, they are very engaging as well. And they spend a lot of time working with communities to make sure they understand the process, because they want to see you succeed. So they work with you to build your crowdfunding site. They work with you on your campaign, your public presentation. They make sure you're staying connected. And then you set your target goal. You launch, and we had 30 days to raise $50,000 and get that MEDC match. And so again, that's where it comes down to that public engagement. And it's one of those where you want to keep in mind, like, the first week is really busy.
Yep.
We got a lot of donations, and then they die off.
Yeah, and then you panic.
And then you panic. Yeah, exactly. And then that last week, you kind of a lot more come in as well. We were fortunate, though. Like, our goal was $50,000. We ended up raising from the public over $60,000.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is something that the public really wanted to see happen. And was very, very supportive. We had a lot of great partners. And while the Rotary Club was the biggest service organization, all the other service organizations as well, the Optimist, Kiwanis Club, all of them said, you know what, we want to contribute to this as well. So again, we had that community support. And we made it a priority to reach out to all of them and let them know, you know, what we were trying to do and what our end goal was.
Yeah. So, not only the community, but you also utilized grants with the MEDC and the
yes.
and the Arts Flint Arts Council,
yep.
right? So that's key too. So that's amazing. And then, of course, it sounds like the TDA and the city did a lot of the organization. I'm sure.
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah, and there's a lot of the prep work and site work. Mm-hmm. You know, we're able to partner with the city, and the city was able to do that, and that was considered in kind.
Yes.
So we could count some of that towards our crowdfunding campaign.
Okay.
As well.
Oh, good. And then So the park is beautiful. It's built. How long was that process? You said the fire was 2013?
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me because it seems like...
Right. And we didn't really get started. We had the design charrette in 2000 and probably late 2014.
Okay.
And didn't really get started from there until 2015. And then the planning and the working with the engineering and thinking everything out and the site prep. It takes patience. It took us about 3 years to really put it all together. And so we didn't open the park until probably midsummer 2019 is when we opened it. And then, of course, we're really looking forward to utilizing it in the summer 2020, which didn't happen, but that's okay. We'll take advantage of it this year and moving forward.
Awesome. Yeah. So what is the maintenance plan? Who's responsible for...
It's a combination. The city, through their parks department, takes care of a good amount of the regular upkeep and the regular maintenance. So we have a great partnership with them. But then we also work with McCready Farms, too. So they'll come in the spring. They'll go through, kind of add some fresh mulch, move any rocks around, trim plants, kind of like the higher-end maintenance to keep it looking top notch.
Okay. And is that part of a DDA budget or okay.
Yeah. So the part through what we do with McCready's and landscaping, that comes out of the DDA budget, and then the Parks Department handles their end as well. So it's both, the City of Lapeer and the DDA.
A true collaboration. Yeah. That's great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And without 2020 being what 2020 was, what is the use like? I mean, are you pleased with so far how people are using the park?
So far, yeah. It's very early on, but that first summer that we had it there, the second half of summer 2019, a lot of the youth art groups, they would normally meet inside Gallery 194 or the Pix Theater. If it was a sunny day, they were out there using the park. We did a big kickoff celebration for it where we had bands on the stage. We had a wedding there last summer.
Nice.
So it's starting to get some use. There's been a lot of interest in it. We had to readjust, of course, last year. But even moving forward for this coming year and future years, we're really looking forward to the use of it.
Yeah. Awesome. And then what is one thing that you learned through the whole process? A little tidbit of knowledge that you could pass on?
There was a couple of things. So this was my big first project as a DDA director. It's like, you're hired, and this is what you got to do. So I learned a lot.
Yeah, I bet.
But the big things was, don't look for shortcuts. Put the time, the energy, be patient, and put together, a quality project, and plan for everything. And then go for it, right? Don't try to limit yourself. Don't settle. Think of, the best quality project that's going to make the largest impact on your community, and then figure out how to make it happen from there. So you don't worry about the dollar amount until you know what you want to do.
Yeah, and when you said the project was $150 and then the Lapeer community raised $60 for the crowdfunding, I mean, that says a lot.
Yes.
Just because the population of Lapeer County, it's not a big county population-wise. And so that's just amazing. But I love that you say don't settle. I mean...
Right.
A downtown is worth it. You're
absolutely,
the public
right?
is worth it, right? And I think it's going to reap benefits for your downtown. It's just, it's a beautiful park.
Yeah, we love it.
It really is.
We love it. We're proud of it.
Yeah, you should be. You should be. So, thank you.
Thank you.
That's awesome. And we encourage everyone to obviously come downtown and take a look.
Yes.
Pictures on your Facebook page or where
there are pictures on our Facebook page. We will have a new website up in a couple weeks that'll have some photos on there. But the best opportunity is see it yourself. Pictures don't do it justice. You really have to stand in the space and check it out. And
you can come in the
yourself.
Evening because there's lights.
You can. We've got string lights up there.
So pretty.
So it's a great spot.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, if you have any questions, Jim can be reached at the Lapeer Downtown Development
Lapeer
Authority.
Main Street, DDA. Yep, I can be reached by email, phone, through our website, through Facebook.
Yeah. Yep. Or pop in.
Yeah, love visitors.
Very good. Well, thanks, Jim, for your time. Again, my name is Dana Walker, director with the Michigan Downtown Association. We appreciate you listening, and take care, everyone. Thank you.
You've been listening to In My Downtown, a podcast hosted by the Michigan Downtown Association. Thank you for listening and see you next time. Thank you.